Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
I will once I get myself together here. You never know what's going to happen when it's live. It's Matthew chapter 1. We'll look at verses 18 through 23. The little Christmas story here in Matthew. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just pray your blessing upon this time as we look into your word, and we pray once again that your Spirit, Lord, have his way with us. Bless your word, bless the reading of it. Bless our ears. Help us to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Matthew chapter 1. It starts with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. It's an interesting story, a story that's usually mocked. A lot of Christians, too, are embarrassed by it. But I hope this morning that you get a little better understanding of what it really means that this young girl gave birth to a child. Why the virgin birth and why is it so important? Well, it's to understand something. It's something that humanity does not like to accept. Generally speaking, and that is that we're broken people. We're flawed. I know there's this great work amongst so many people to bring a global world together, to bring a perfect government, quote unquote, to bring spread the wealth out and everything else and really spread the power out. But see, there's a problem. It doesn't matter what type of utopia you build, there is a problem, and it is within. We are selfish beings. It's in our DNA. We pass it on to your children. Yes, those dear little angels that sang so angelically are sinners. I don't need to tell you parents, you know that already. So something had to happen. See, virgin birth, if you will, was God's way. God's way of coming to the earth without being contaminated by sin. By sin. By our DNA. The virgin birth. It wasn't passed on through the parents. No. See, through Mary's womb was, if you will, a holy temple. That God was able to be born. Remember, I'm not saying that Mary was holy in herself. Who she held in her womb was holy. So it was, if you will, a trumpet blast from God. The virgin birth is a blast from God, a trumpet of saying, God is with man. God. So now we got to come to the question of why a baby? Why a little Hummer? Well, let's look at it this way. How many of us are ever afraid of a baby? When all these kids came up, and you know what? They outnumber us adults. When all these kids came out here, I didn't see all you adults kind of move back. Because you don't know what these kids are going to do. It's like, this is scary. Now, maybe if you knew the child and if they had something in their hand and you're going, uh-oh, they're going to throw that, you might have backed up. But you weren't in danger of your life, were you? If you will, the virgin birth was God's trumpet blast of saying, I'm here. But the baby was God's whisper of saying, come near. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. See, if God came in His glory, then we would all be scared. See, there's something unique and so wonderful that we need to grab hold of this every Christmas and every day of our lives, that God came near to us as a baby. The beauty of that, but also, really, if you will, just the joy of just seeing a child. Nothing brings so much joy to a person than seeing a child. Especially, you know what I mean, when that child is first born. So we have why a virgin, why a baby, but why has He come? Remember we read in verse 21 that bring forth a son and He shall save His people from their sins. See, it's internal is the problem. So He came to what? To save us from all of our sins. Remember what John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, I also like what Peter says. Peter goes on to say, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Paul goes on to say, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So Christ came as a baby to what? For one purpose, to take away the sins of the world. But see, that word save isn't just to rescue, to save us from, but it also means to make whole, to heal. See, the wonder of it all is, isn't so much just that God came to the earth, fully God and fully man, that itself is a wonder. Not only that He came to do one thing, and that is to die for us. But see, again, if it was just to die for the penalty of sin, something else is amiss here. What about the DNA? What about the problem within? And that's the beauty of the gospel message, because what we learn is now Christ has come to take residence in us. Paul calls it the glory, the hope of glory that we all have. Christ in us. Paul goes on to say in Romans, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Christ in us now. It's not just Christ with us. Now it's Christ in us who have received Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's doing a work in us. And what is it? To make us whole. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, and as we have been born in the image of the man of dust, the first Adam, the Adam of sin, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. A new DNA. See, it's an amazing thing what they're doing about DNA. Genetics. They're looking at problems in man. They're looking at health. They're hoping to ratify when they see it. They diagnose it, whether it's to combat it or to remove it. This is the science that they're trying to go to. That if you are prone to have cancer, that they can see that right off the bat and do something about it rather than wait till it progresses. Even in the womb, possibly. To do this. But see, something else that they're discovering, not only genetics, again, of health, but they're discovering, unbeknownst to them, that people have tendencies to sin. It's in your DNA. But now, in Christ, what has happened is now we have His DNA working in us, making us completely new. Completely new. Inside, I know you probably don't feel it. You still sin. You still fail. But the honest truth about it is Christ in you. This is your hope. This is the truth. He's at work. And everything that God does is good. Everything He does is good. And that work that He's going to do, Paul tells us, is going to be complete. This is the Christmas story. That you have become born again. Those who have received Christ, you are born again. You have a new DNA. You have been washed of your past sins, your present sins, your future sins, but you've been cleansed and made new, and you will be perfect. For as John says, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. See, that's the work He's doing inside us. He's transforming us. He's changing us into the image of His Son. That's the beauty of the gospel message. That's the reality of all of us that we share in Christ. So to see why the virgin birth is so that the divinity could come to this earth. Why a baby? So that we can see divinity manifested in flesh, but yet without sin. So we see that God is with us, but now we also understand that God is in us and that God is doing a work, and that work He is going to complete. So there's something else that we need to understand, because a lot of us don't take hold of this. We may acknowledge that God has been with us and that God is with us and that God is in us. But do we also acknowledge this? See, Paul says in Romans, he says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things, here, church, if God is for us? Who can be against us?" See, it's not just God with us. It's just not God in us. God is for us. God's your biggest fan. I know something about that as a parent. I know you do too. I and my wife are my kids' biggest fans. We believe in them. We believe in the gifts that God has given them. We believe in the work that God will do in and through them. We believe that they have just really scratched the surface of who they are and how they learn to be who they are in Christ. I'm their biggest fan, and so is my wife. My wife would always say, "I'm going to bring a cowbell today and watch you play basketball to Eli." When Selah was doing her plays, we were in unicorn horn saying, "That's our daughter up there." When Micah was doing his plays, we would applaud the loudest. We didn't care. Why? Because that's our children. Were they the best? Were they the greatest? No. But to us, they were. Somehow I think I'm going to be in trouble for that one. Selah, I love you. But see, the beauty of it is, are you trying to sidetrack me now? Please don't. It was going so well, as Emily just said. Thank you, Emily. It's live television here, folks. Point is, you know what? The difference is God is your biggest fan, and you will be perfect. Do you hear me? You will be perfect. That's the beauty of all this. Not just God with us. We've come and celebrate the birth of Christ. But it's God in us. But it's not just the God that's working in us, because we see our failures. We see where it should always say danger, under construction. Man, this is a problem here. God is for us. Like the work that He's doing, that He sees, and it's all. Did I mention this? Oh, did I say this? Did you hear me? That God is good. And everything He does is good and perfect and wonderful. With a trumpet blast, I'm here, and the world is not here. But we have. He also whispers, come here. Don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid again. Because now I'm in you. Not to say, oh my goodness, you're a failure. Look at this. Oh, tear down this wall. Let's rebuild it. Take out the sink. No. Everything he does is perfect. And the God who is in us is for us. And he's going to make us complete. See, that's the wonder of Christmas. That's the beauty of it. That's the life. That's why we hold it dear to every doctrine about it. Because this God who the world does not understand, we do. And we celebrate Him. And we share it with others. So we see God not to be afraid. We see that He's come to take away all that has kept us from Him. We understand we're not right, but that He saved us. We acknowledge that He's in us. And we rejoice that He's for us. And now the challenge for all of us is just live for Him. Merry Christmas. I hope you really understand this. And I pray that each of us unwrap it. Every day of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for these truths. And we just pray, Lord, that You would help each of us to receive the truth of Your Word this morning. I pray, Father, that we would accept the truth that You are at work in spite of ourselves. But Lord, we also acknowledge that You're for us. And it inspires us to desire to walk with You so that Your work, Lord, would go unhindered and that Your work would go forth and through us, that we too can proclaim with a trumpet blast, the Lord is here, Emmanuel, but also with a soft whisper, come and see what He has done in me. Come and see what He has done in others and come experience it yourself. For He is for you, not against you. He desires that all would come to repentance. And that His desire is to love on those who will come. Will you come? Now, with your eyes closed and your head bowed, I do have a question for you. Have you ever acknowledged yourself as separated from God? Have you ever understood yourself as a sinner? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, I'm going to give you a chance right now. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I'd like you to raise your hand. I can pray for you. Anyone at all? Maybe you have received the Lord as your Savior, but you're not walking with Him. Then make this a new day. Today, if you've heard His voice, I want to challenge you. Renew your commitment to the Lord this day. And again, I'll ask you, raise your hand so that I may pray for you. Anyone at all? Father, I just rejoice in the fact that we desire to follow hard after You. And I pray, Lord, as again, the testimony in this sanctuary, Lord, that each of us has just made by not raising our hand is saying that, Lord, we are committed to You, that we desire for Your work to be worked in us into completion, and that we, Lord, would be your children, sharing and shining the light of Jesus Christ, for others may see the hope of this world is in our Savior. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray.